So welcome to those that are here. Welcome to our online family that's watching as well. I'm believing God for some great things today. In fact, I'm really very, very excited. We've been going along in a series that I didn't realize at the time when I started this series that Pentecost Sunday was today. I didn't know that till a couple weeks ago, but about a month ago is when this series came to mind about, you know, becoming your best you. And there's no accident that this is Pentecost Sunday, and you'll see that in a few minutes. But as we talked a couple of weeks ago, we talked about the importance of you becoming your best you, that you have to have a growth mindset. You can't have a fixed mindset. You can't just say, well, this is the way it is. I'm not changing my way of thinking. You will never grow in God with that kind of attitude. And in fact, if you think that way, here's what you're thinking. I'm going to tell you what you're thinking. I've got God figured out. I got life figured out. I know all the answers. And if that's you, guess what? Your life is going to stay the same as it is right now. And if you expect new things to happen in your life, that's a form of insanity. Because if you do things, same thing over and over again, expecting different results, that is insane, all right? And so fixed mindset is not what you and I are to have as believers in the Lord, to believe that there's always more. There's always more of God, that we only have a small slice of the cake, in a sense, of what God's got in our lives and for us. And we need to be open to that, believing that He's got so much more. And so are you? Do you have a growth mindset where you're willing to accept the fact that you don't have all the answers, you don't know everything, but God does? And to be open to that newness and that freshness of all that He's got for you. Because if that's your heart, then you are poised for some great things in God, to become the best you that you are to be. And so we talked about that. Then this last week, we talked about boundaries. You know, boundaries identify who you are, the things that you do and the things that you don't do, identify yourself to other people of what kind of person you are. And God doesn't give us boundaries to constrain us, but rather to show us the extent of His kingdom. And let me tell you, His kingdom is very, very big. And so, again, when you think of the word boundary, sometimes we think the word bound, and we're being held back. God's kind of boundaries are to set us free. Now, the world's kind of boundaries are not. Maybe other people's boundaries that they put on you, they're not to set you free. They could be to bind you up and to hinder you from all that you can be. But God's boundaries, they're limitless. They're just amazing. They're for our purposes. And we talked about hard boundaries and soft boundaries. The hard being, you know, the Word of God, for example, the Ten Commandments, you know, summarized in the two commandments of loving God and loving others. You know, those are set in stone. There's no wiggle room in that at all, right? So if you're having trouble with your neighbor or someone in this life, and you need to get right about that. And you might say, but, and I know what you're going to tell you. They're doing this or they're not doing this. Not about them. It's about your heart attitude towards them and to have a right heart attitude, one of love. And you can only do that in God, amen? And so we talked then about soft boundaries. We talked about things in our lives that we need to set up. For example, sleep habits and eating habits and exercise habits and how we treat others. You know, all those kinds of things are what I call soft boundaries. In other words, you have choice in that. I can't go to a specific scripture and say you have to do this exact thing. Yet it's important for us to have those boundaries to have the best life possible. And again, what we've been talking about is you becoming your best you. And so some of those soft boundaries are as much important as the hard boundaries of the Scriptures. Amen? And so we talked about those. If you didn't hear those sermons in their entirety, I encourage you to go back and have a listen. But what I want to talk to you about today, and it's interesting, again, that it falls on Pentecost Sunday, and this was a title I've been thinking about for weeks, is this: you can't do this alone. In other words, you cannot have God's best without the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. And I want to illustrate that. So I have this little video clip, 30-second video clip I found online. This is to demonstrate that. All right, go ahead. See this little kitten? Watch what he's trying to do. Now, he is putting everything he can into that jump, isn't he? Every little fiber of his being, he's pushing as hard as he can. There's the slow-mo of it. There he goes. Plop. And he can practice all day long. Is he going to jump much higher? Is he ever going to make it to the counter, at least in his present state of size? It's never going to happen, right? Here's the thing. That is us trying to get to God's best, which is on the counter, and on your own, there is no chance in any place that you are ever going to make it. But with the power and presence of Jesus, you can make the jump. See, He's the game changer. He's the one that makes all the difference. That's why we can see scriptures like Philippians 4:13 that says you can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. Well, that's exactly that illustration. You can't do it yourself, but with God's help, with His presence, with His anointing upon it, with His approval upon it, you can do all things in Him. And that's really what I want to talk to you about today, is the importance of Pentecost, the importance of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the importance of God being a part of your life in every part. And so for us to do that, we need to start in Acts chapter 2. Now, here's the thing. We're going to be talking about the Holy Spirit. We're going to be talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And you might think as we start reading that this is some kind of New Testament thing. You know, that all of a sudden the Holy Spirit showed up in the New Testament. If you read, the Holy Spirit was all through the Old Testament. In fact, it was in the opening verses of Genesis. And it says that the Holy Spirit of God was hovering over the waters, and it was empty and void. There was nothing there at all. And then God spoke. Well, what was the Holy Spirit doing? Well, the Holy Spirit was making it happen. God the Father spoke, and the Holy Spirit did it. And it's the same today, that if we allow the Holy Spirit to be a part of our life, a part of the narrative of everything that we're doing, God is speaking through the Holy Spirit. Now, here's the difference. Back in Genesis, there was no people yet. So when God spoke, it just happened. Now, if we read a little further on, you'll see in Genesis 2 and 3 that God gave mankind authority. And what did He say? Rule over everything. He said, now I'm putting you in charge. Now, here's the difference now for you and I. Holy Spirit is living in us, and God is still speaking, but we have to give Him permission to act on our behalf. This is so important. You know, so many times I have Christians come up to me, and they're like, well, why didn't God do this? And why didn't God do that? And the first question I ask, well, did you ask Him? And they're like, no. Well, He's not going to usurp His authority over you and make you do something. You got to ask Him. I believe that God is waiting to answer prayers that haven't been asked. Are you talking to Him? Are you asking Him about stuff? Are you seeking Him? Because He wants to move, but His hands are literally tied. He is restrained, not because He can't do something, but because He has chosen not to do something, because He has given you authority in this life. In other words, He doesn't really need us. Can we be honest? He doesn't need us. But He has chosen to partner with us. And in that partnership, we now have the power of decision in the working of the Holy Spirit in our lives. That's why we have to be growth-minded. We have to be open to new things that God wants to do. We have to be knowledgeable of the boundaries that God has set in our lives so that when the Holy Spirit speaks, we know how to act and what to do and when to do it. Because that's just the nature and character of God. So Acts 2, did you get there yet? You probably thought I forgot, didn't you? So Acts 2. So in Acts 1, just to give you a little background, the disciples came to Jesus and He said, when are you coming back? You know, when are you going to establish your kingdom? Now, I'm going to paraphrase it, but here's what Jesus said. That's none of your business. All right? But He said, here's what you need to do. Not far from now or not long from now, you will be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And you'll be witnesses to Me in Jerusalem, Judea, and to the outermost parts of the earth. So what was Jesus saying? He's saying, look, don't worry about the times and events and all of that right now. Focus on the need to have the Holy Spirit. And I want to tell you something. There's no ending to that. We need to focus on the need of the Holy Spirit still today. And so I want to go to Acts chapter 2 because that's the birth of the New Testament church. So Acts 2, beginning in verse 1. I'm reading from New King James Version. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Verse 5, and there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men, from every nation under heaven. And when the sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused because everyone heard them speak in their own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, look, are not all of those who speak Galileans? How is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Pergia, Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya adjoining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, whatever could this mean? Others mocking said, they're full of wine. And so here we have the birth of the New Testament church. But again, the Holy Spirit has always been. But this was when Jesus had proclaimed this all through the Gospels. He said, this is going to happen. The Holy Spirit is going to come. And this was that event. Now, there's some churches that would teach, well, yes, the Holy Spirit came like that. They acknowledge it in the Bible. And then they say, but that's then, this is now. Listen to me. I don't see anywhere in my Bible that says that's done now. Now, you might not have had this experience yet of the evidence of speaking in tongues, of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But does that mean it doesn't exist? You know, how many of you have flown on a rocket ship? Anyone here? Well, if you've never done it, it must not exist. You've never experienced it. You see where I'm going with this? And it's the same with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It may not be part of your experience yet. You notice how I word that. Yet. But it says here that when the Holy Spirit fell, that all of them spoke in tongues. And I checked a bunch of versions to make sure they didn't just stick that word all in. It's in every version, all right? It's all there. It's there. All of us are to experience this. So here's the deal. So it goes in, they begin to speak in tongues. Now, for the purpose here, as we look at it, it was for the people there to hear what? The wondrous works of God. Now, do you think that these disciples were forced to speak in tongues? You know, what do you think? Shekatia, makila, namakila, namakosia. So there, I just spoke in tongues. Probably freaked out a few of you. Because I don't do that normally in public, all right? For those of you that speak in tongues, you're like, yeah, big deal. But for those who've never experienced it, you're like, whoa, that's scary. Some people watching online right now are like, whoa. Listen, don't get scared. Don't shut me off. Don't run away. Let's look at what the scriptures say. The Bible says that we are to speak in tongues. This isn't even the only place. There's dozens of places. This is to be a part of our Christian experience. And just because you might not personally be experiencing it yet doesn't mean it's not real and available for you. You know, let's not be closed-minded about it. Now, so many times I have people come up and say, well, I haven't experienced, so therefore it must not be true or real. Who the heck died and made you God? Like, come on. Like, again, you have to realize that just because you haven't experienced it doesn't mean it's not available for you. And so we as believers, I don't know about you, I want everything that God has for me. And anyone else here feel that way? Do you want everything God's got for you? Okay, part of the package is the gifting and ability to speak in tongues. Now you could, you know, and you could take it or leave it. You can choose, I don't want to do that. And God isn't going to force you. And you'll notice that I spoke in tongues, I decided to, and I stopped when I decided to. So you're not, quote, possessed. You know, you're not going to go rambling off at your boss at work, okay? You get what I'm saying and get fired, all right? It doesn't work that way, all right? It's something you can turn off and turn off as you want to. Again, you have free will choice, free will decision, amen? And so I don't want anyone to be fearful of this. It's in the Bible. Do we believe the Bible? Everyone here believe the Bible? Okay, well, I read to the end of the book of Acts, and it doesn't say all these things happened in the past and they're not to happen anymore. It's not there. This is to be a part of our Christian experience. And there's a purpose for it. You know, it's not just to sound strange to your neighbors or somebody. You get what I'm saying? There is purpose in this. And we're going to talk about that here in a moment. If you look at verse 14, Acts 2, verse 14. But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words, for these are not drunk as you suppose, since it was only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, or all people, some versions say. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. You know, as we look at the people that were speaking in tongues at that time, you know, the early disciples, you know, what were they doing as they were speaking in tongues? It says this, that they were declaring the wonderful works of God. That's what the scriptures say. Now, I was thinking about that thing. Wow, that's cool, right? Every language. They didn't even know what they were saying, right? Yet they were talking about the wonderful works of God. I saw this happen with my own eyes a number of years ago at Bard College. Pastor Tom was involved with this. And so here's what happened. We went up to speak up at Bard College to do a chapel service. And I don't think anybody even showed up at the service. It was a strange day. Nobody showed up. And we're like, that's weird. So I still preached. I preached to the angels that were there. I just preached to Jesus who was there. That was my job. And so we came out, and we were just standing around, and we just said, Lord, you know, what are you doing? So some people came up, a couple people came up, and they have a lot of foreign students up there. And so they started talking, and I'm like, I don't know what language. So Tom comes over and joins the conversation. So he's listening. I can see him kind of nodding his head, and then he started speaking back. And then they spoke, and then he spoke. And then another person came along, another student, and I saw him listening. And I said, well, what are they talking about? He says, they're just talking about God, talking about all the good things about God. And so after this, so then the two people left. I went up to Tom and said, Tom, you know, what language were you speaking? You know what Tom told me? I don't know. These people came up, started speaking to him, and he just spoke in tongues back to him. And they answered. And then he spoke, and it went back and forth. There was this like 10-minute conversation. It was exactly, I saw the book of Acts happening before my eyes. And I said, wow, that was so cool. It gives me goosebumps to think about it right now. Just amazing. Just amazing. This is here. It's available. The thing is, you and I often don't see it. Why? Because we're not willing to get outside of the box that we've put God in and realize that if it's in the Bible, it is there and it's available to be a part of and to see. Now, again, not something you make happen, but it's something that you prepare your heart for. And when an opportunity comes, you take that step of faith. Listen, for Tom to just start speaking in tongues to him, I would have been scared to death to do that. You know, like, what are they going to think? But then probably if they didn't understand, they'd just say, no comprehend, you know, and they would have walked away and Tom would have stopped. But there was actually a conversation. And it wasn't just a minute. It back and forth. And then with the other guy telling me what they're talking about, I was like, whoa. Just blew my mind. Amen. And Tom's like, yeah, that's what I did, you know. What a great story. So it goes on, though, and it says, listen, the Spirit's going to be poured out not just on Pastor Tom. It says on all flesh, all peoples. In other words, these things are available for anyone who wants to partake in it. And it talks about, you know, old men dreaming dreams and people having visions and then prophesying. And the thing is, that's not the gift of prophecy. It says being poured out on all men. And prophecy is included in that. So there is an office of a prophet. You know, we have that. We're not going to talk about that today. But let's just talk about the dreams and visions just for a second. There's really not much difference between the two, all right? Other than this, when old men dream dreams, they're asleep and they see a vision, all right? And the difference, so that's the only difference. And so a vision is when your eyes are open and you see something, okay? So essentially it's the same thing. But prophecy here is really interesting. It's a foretelling. It's a word that's anointed. It's a word that's more than your intuition. Everyone knows what intuition is, right? You have this sense that something's going to happen one way or the other, often based on your observations, right? 10 times you saw a person do this, and you're like, yeah, the 11th time it's going to happen again. Well, that's just you. You know what I'm saying? There's nothing wrong with that. There are people who have great, you know, wisdom in that. But I'm talking about another level where God actually knows the future. It's not based on the past, but God literally knows what's going to happen, knows what should be said to thwart something or to change something or direct something. And that's what this is talking about. And all of us, listen, all of us in the context of that are called to prophesy, to speak forth a word in its proper, appropriate season. Amen? Have you done that? Have you ever thought you could do it? See, that's the thing. Often, it's we don't realize we can do this, so therefore, we don't do it. Even with speaking in tongues, we're like, we read it in the Bible, like, yeah, okay, that's nice. That's for some people. It's for those, you know, crazy Pentecostals or, you know, the one group. Listen to me. There is power in the ability to speak in tongues. We're going to talk about that a little bit later. And so, how do we receive this? How does it work? Now, I have yet to go in a room and pray for the baptism of the Holy Spirit on people and see tongues of fire come down and touch them. I'm sure it's happened. I'm not going to box God in. But that has not been my experience yet. I've seen God baptize people in the Holy Spirit many, many times, amen? And so how does it work? What do you need to do if you haven't experienced the Pentecost version of the baptism of the Holy Spirit? How do you get there? Well, glad you asked. Jesus tells us in Luke chapter 11. If you have your Bibles or your apps, however you want to go there. The chapter begins with the disciples coming to Jesus saying, teach us how to pray. That's what they say. And then the Lord then shows them the Lord's Prayer, teaches them the Lord's Prayer. We're not going to get into that today, but basically it's an outline of how to pray. And I encourage you, take each line and expand on it. Begins with worship. Well, don't just say, I adore you, I worship you. You know, talk to the Lord about worship. And then all your needs, don't just say, my needs, but list them out, you know, and go from there. But after that, you got to remember the context of this. Sometimes there's subtitles and stuff. You got to ignore those in your Bible because sometimes that splits a continuing thought. And that's exactly what happens here. So he teaches them the Lord's Prayer, and then he gives this illustration in verse 5. It says, and he said. So again, if you have a subtitle in your Bible, you might not even read that at the same time, but it's connected. So it's connected to how to pray or how to connect with God. All right, so he says in verse 5, this is Luke 11, verse 5. And he said to them, which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine has come to me on his journey and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within and say, do not trouble me. The door is now shut. My children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give it to you. I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his perseverance, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. Now, here's the thing. You could interpret this a couple different ways. One way you could interpret it is that God is stingy, he sleeps a lot, and you got to really bug him to get an answer, all right? That is not what Jesus is talking about here. What he's really talking about, though, is that though in the world it's hard sometimes to get something, in the end you'll get it if you were what? Perseverant. And so it's the same. Jesus is making the point. You know, don't just utter kind of a prayer. Okay, Lord, you know, I've got this need. Can you help me? And then when you don't hear back, oh, I guess you're not listening, and you go and do your own thing. That's literally what Jesus is saying. Don't give up. Be perseverant in it. Be persistent in it. Keep seeking him in that. Don't give up. That's really what he's saying, all right? And again, this is in the context of connecting with God. And you might say, well, what's the Holy Spirit got to do with this? Glad you asked. Let's go on a little further. You go on to verse 9, and he says, so I say. What is that? That's a term of conclusion. In other words, it's connected to the thought above. So this is all about connecting with God, about him and his presence. So look at this, verse 9. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. To him who knocks, it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? Verse 13. If you then being evil, which means not perfect, all right, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give what? The Holy Spirit to those who ask him. And this is all in the context of the Lord's Prayer, all in the context of connecting with God. You see, the Bible says in John 4 that God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Well, how do we worship him in spirit and in truth? We have to do it through the avenue of the Holy Spirit. That's the only way it can happen. You can't do it just in your mind, in your natural mind. You have to do it spirit to spirit. And that's where the Holy Spirit comes in. Now, so who has access to the Holy Spirit? Well, let me just define this. This is important. When you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, when you choose to invite him into your life, the Holy Spirit comes and resides in you, all right? You don't just get a piece of him. You don't get like Jesus' little baby finger put in you and you got a piece of Jesus or a part of God, all right? You have the Holy Spirit comes and lives in you. And again, this can be confusing because you'll see Jesus in John 14 to 16, he interchanges things. He says, you know, if you have me, you have the Father. If you have me, you have the Holy Spirit. Basically, we don't worship three gods, right? You know, we talk about God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. But you literally could say, I have God in me, all right? You could say that. You could also say, I have Jesus living within me. And you could also say, I have the Holy Spirit living within me, all right? There's nothing wrong with saying that. But we... have had this laid out through Scripture with a Father, a Son, and a Holy Spirit to just have a better understanding, and it helps us in our little pea-brain minds to kind of put it all together. But you need to understand you have Him all on the inside at salvation. So then what's the baptism of the Holy Spirit about then? Is that like more of Jesus, more of the Holy Spirit, more of God? No, it's not. It's not so much something coming down on you, but rather letting something out. See, the word baptized actually means to be fully immersed. That's what the term literally means. And so when we accept Christ as our Lord and Savior, Jesus comes and lives in our hearts. But the baptism of the Holy Spirit is a further releasing of His presence into your life. For example, when I spoke in tongues, what's happened? From my spirit spoke to my brain, and my brain spoke to my tongue and made my tongue work for God to be able to speak through it. So what did I do? I yielded my tongue, yielded my mind to the presence of God to work through me. And that's literally what the baptism of the Holy Spirit is. In tongues, that's for that. But what about all the other gifts? And we're not going to talk about that today. There's dozens of other gifts of the Spirit that God wants to use in and through us, but we have to yield to Him for those operations of those gifts to happen. And we need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And there are some who would say, well, do you need to speak in tongues to operate in the gifts? The short answer is no. But the longer answer is, in the Bible, when people were baptized in the Holy Spirit, they spoke in tongues. In other words, that's a good starting point. In other words, if you speak in tongues, you know you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit. But that's not the end-all, be-all. You know, just because you speak in tongues doesn't make you more spiritual than someone who doesn't. And I want everyone to realize that here, whether you're watching online or you're here, that I don't see, you as a second-class citizen if you don't speak in tongues. That's horrible. You know, God loves us all equally and the same. Having said that, I believe that you may be missing out. Not maybe, you are missing out on something that God's got for you. And it's awesome, all right? If you haven't figured that out, I'm pretty excited about this. He's got something that's great for you, and it's there for you to unwrap. And in a sense, that's why I'm here with you today, to say, look, don't be afraid of this. I know there's a lot of people that are afraid of it. You know, they feel that, you know, they lose control. You never lose control, ever. Something you can turn off, you can turn off. That is not how God rolls. It's the same with any other part of your life. Does He make you do good things? Does He make you do bad things? He doesn't make you do anything. What He does is He convicts you and directs you, but you make the final decision. You have the final say. God has given us that choice. It's amazing, isn't it? Amen. And so we just need to realize that God wants to work on our behalf. Okay, so that's how we receive the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and what did we get out of this? I wrote this down. We ask and we don't give up. You might say, well, I prayed once for it, you know, and nothing happened. What? Come on. Weren't you a kid once? Didn't you pester your parents till they said yes? Come on. Come on. You know how to do this, all right? We are well trained, all right? As little people, we knew how to get our way. At least my kids did, and I know I did, all right? You just kept wearing away, you know? And here's the thing. Part of the reason why you may not have gotten an answer, this is just a thought, this is concerning prayer in general, but even with the Holy Spirit, are you in a position to receive? So often we pray about something and God doesn't seem to answer, but are we open to the answer He's going to give us? Just a thought. You know, we need to be in the right place. And that's why I believe we have to sometimes be persistent in our prayers. It's not to change God's mind, but it's actually for us to change as we continually pray about it. God brings you to a place to receive the answer and the direction He's got for you. Amen? It's not about changing God's mind. If someone is perfect in every way, how do you change their mind? Because if you change their mind, it would mean that they're going to do something less perfect. So you're never going to change God's mind. So really, through prayer, we're being changed. So we need to be persistent to allow the presence of God to change us. Amen? Okay. So here's our last portion for today. What's the purpose of all this? And again, we could do a sermon series for about a year on all the different purposes, but I want to give you the grassroots purpose of why you and I need the Holy Spirit and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's two verses. It's found in Romans chapter 8, beginning in 26. So Romans 8, verse 26. In other words, what's the purpose? Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered or understood. Now, he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. There's a lot of he's in there. They're capitalized. Just so you know, that's Jesus. Scripture says this, that Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father making intercession on our behalf. All right? So just so there's perfect clarification in this. And so that's who the he is. But let's look back at this. If you look at verse 26, the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses. It's an interesting word. In fact, I did a deep dive on this word because I want to know how he helps. And so, you know, the first part of the definition made perfect sense. You know, the idea is it's to help your mind. In other words, when you don't know what to do, you know, you're trying to make a decision and you're not sure, all right? You don't have fullness of understanding. And that makes sense, right? But the other half of this weakness, I love this, is actually for physical healing. It's actually talking about when your body isn't right. In other words, you have a health issue of some sort. In other words, it covers basically spirit, soul, and body. Meaning, weak, meaning you're not perfect and you need help. And so the Holy Spirit is there to help you. And so how does he help? So this is where the baptism of the Holy Spirit comes in. For we don't know how we should pray. We don't know. Should I pray this way? Should I do this? Should I? You don't know. So what do you do? Well, if you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, what do? You pray in the Spirit. You pray in tongues. Because it's the Holy Spirit praying through you. It's perfect, wholesome prayer. You can't do wrong. If you remember when all those people were speaking in Acts 2, what were they doing? Declaring the wonderful works of God. In other words, none of those words were curse words. None of those words were critical words. None of those words were negative in any way. It was all glorifying God. When the Holy Spirit prays on your behalf, can I tell you, let him have it, all right? In fact, it's really good to let him do it. He knows exactly what he's doing. He knows what you need. Now, here's the cool part. As we go on and read this, you saw this, that the Holy Spirit knows what? Knows God's will and knows your heart as well. And here's what he does. He connects you to heaven. That's what the presence of Jesus does. See, I said this earlier, that God is spirit and we must worship him or connect with him in spirit and in truth. And so this is a way for you and I to connect to God through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. When you don't know how to pray, or maybe you've been praying using your normal language for like a long time for something, you're like, man, I've been praying for years for this. Nothing's happening. Have you ever thought about praying in the Spirit if you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit? And then you say, well, I don't know what I'm saying then. Well, here's the deal. First of all, has it been working when you know what you're saying? All right, that's the first thought. But also, Paul talks about it. Again, it's in Scripture. Read it in Corinthians. He talks about praying in the Spirit and then praying in the understanding. What that basically is that you pray in the Spirit and then you pray just using your own words. And often, you will get the interpretation of what you were praying in the Spirit. So you will know what you've been praying. It's awesome. The thing is, it's all there for us, but do we know? Do we act upon it? See, I believe that our experience at this point with Jesus is about this much compared to all this that he wants to have for us. Are we willing to open our hearts to that? Are we willing to have a growth mindset, a realization that we don't have all the answers and he's got the more for us? If you want more of the best God has for you, you got to be open to this. The baptism of the Holy Spirit, listen, without it, you're that kitten trying to jump on the counter. It's not going to happen. Unless somebody comes and picks up that cat and puts him on the counter. And literally, that's what Jesus does in your life and in mine. You know, he can jump hurdles that you and I could never do on our own. And I could tell you story after story of how God's done that in my life. And I know many of you have experienced that as well. But let's stand together right now. And let me ask you this question, those watching online as well. Have you had a Pentecostal experience in Jesus? And when I say that, I'm referring to Acts chapter 2, where the presence of God has allowed you to speak in a language that's not your own, that you didn't learn on your own. Because that's literally what tongues are. That's the definition of it. To speak in a language that you don't know, that you never learned. And if you haven't, here's what I want to say to you. It's available for you. It's available. But you need to seek it out. You need to ask. You know, we talked about that from Luke 11. It's there, and it needs to be our primary thing. So often, here's what you and I are doing. You know, we're looking for the stuff from God. When really, he's saying we need to be looking for his presence. Because in his presence is fullness of joy. In his presence is everything that you and I need. In his presence is the stuff. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else will be added on to you. Well, how do we seek God in righteousness? We seek him through the Holy Spirit. So, Father, I thank you for every person here. And we're all in different places in our spiritual journey. But one thing I do know, you want all of us to be baptized in your Holy Spirit. And I believe with the evidence of speaking in tongues, because this isn't just one place in Scripture, Lord, it's all through the New Testament. And Lord, in no way do we condemn anyone who hasn't yet experienced this. But we want to encourage them that it's available. It's a gift to unwrap that's already inside of them. Lord, I thank you for those that are just opening their hearts to this. And Lord, there are some here that have spoken in tongues maybe once. And they said, well, okay, I can check mark that off. I've done that. But Lord God, that they would realize it's something to rely on and depend on a regular basis, a daily basis, as part of their prayer life. So I pray, Lord, that they would begin once again to allow your Spirit to speak through them in their prayer time. And Lord, for those that have never experienced this, I just pray that their hearts are open to the possibility of it. In fact, I'll use a different word, to the surety of it. That it's there and it's available for every person who knows you as their Lord and Savior. Lord, I thank you for every person here. Thank you for those that have been watching. And if there's anyone here that would like prayer here after service or anytime, contact us. If you're online, contact us as well. And just let us know, and we're here to help you. But Lord, right now, I speak a blessing over every person here. I pray, Lord God, that whether we're using our prayer language or our natural language, that we are declaring the glory of God everywhere we go. I thank you and I praise you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.